Good morning and welcome to Monrovia Christian Church. We're so glad that you have chose to join us here online. We pray that today is a very blessed day for you as we look into God's Word. Would you please pray with me? Abba, Father, thank you for this day. Father, thank you for the many blessings that you have shared with our lives this week, and Father, we look forward to the week to come as you undoubtedly will continue to rain down your blessings. And yet, Father, we're also mindful of the struggles in life, the struggles that come because of uncertainty and the struggles that come because of relationships and the relationships that we're in. And so, Father, I just pray today that you would bring a calming of hearts. Father, that you would open our hearts that we might hear and see what you have to share with us this day. Father, I ask you to continue to be with the men and women of our armed forces as they stand in the gap and defend our rights to be able to come to you and to be able to worship you in this way this day. Father, just now, would you set me aside? Would you speak your truth using my voice? I pray that the words that are shared would be taken by your Spirit and that it would be interpreted into each life in a manner that is meaningful and touching and challenging to them. So, Father, just now, still our hearts and please come and share with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin this morning by sharing with you some words that were written in the letter of James as they are paraphrased by Eugene Peterson in the Message. James 1, 22 through 25 reads like this. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but. Letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in a mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye, and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. You know, one of the unfortunate things about the layout or setting of our home is that when I get up first thing in the morning and before I can even prepare for the day, I am confronted by 4 mirrors. The first one is on a dresser that is on my side of the bed directly across from me. And so the moment I set up, I'm staring straight into a mirror. Then as I get up and I proceed to move into the master bath, at the doorway leading into the master bath, right there on the side, is a full-length mirror that catches my attention. Upon entering the master bath, immediately to the right is this large mirror that hangs over our double sinks. And finally, there's the mirror in the medicine cabinet just in front of the shower door. Why is this unfortunate, you might ask? Well, what looks back at me in each one of them is not necessarily a very welcoming sight. After tossing and turning all night, my hair is in disarray. I can see that I'm in desperate need of a shave. And on most occasion, there's still sleep in my eyes that need to be washed away. Yet those mirrors are also helpful because I'm able to take note of how I look. And I can address the areas that need to be, shall we say, touched up before I embark on the day. It is this thought, especially as it pertains to us, the church, that I want to spend a little time looking at today and over the course of our next several weeks together. For we have a mirror to look into as the church, a set of standards, if you will, to strive to live up to. And I believe they're found and written all over the pages of Scripture and in the spoken word of Jesus. Especially as we look at the Sermon on the Mount. I'm currently reading a book by John Dickerson entitled The Hope of Nations. And in the preface and introduction to that book, John pens these words. And I want you to know that these were written well before the moments we find ourselves in today. He writes, "As the nations shake in fear, we gain sure footing by rooting ourselves in Scripture and in timeless truth. So many of our neighbors are confused and increasing in a panic. But we can know with confidence what is happening, why it is happening, and where it will lead. Ultimately, we can be people who stand strong because of our lives are built upon the hope of nations." He continues on, "More than ever, our divided society needs people who model true love, true courage, and true leadership. With an understanding of the times, we can be a people of stability. We can be God's anchored people, full of understanding, compassion, faith, hope, and resolve. We can be the people who shine bright, the light of the world, and who declare the hope of nations. But before we can help change the heart of our community, of our state, of our nation, and even of the world, we must first be willing to take a hard look within ourselves and in that spiritual mirror, looking at the characteristics which are given to us by Jesus Christ Himself as He speaks from this hillside near the Sea of Galilee." Characteristics has been defined by Webster's Dictionary as a distinguishing trait, quality, or property, that it is a revealing, distinguishing, or typical trait of an individual or thing. When we think of characteristics, sometimes we focus on the physical items that identify us. As an avid watcher of crime and forensics shows, one of the first questions that is often asked of eyewitnesses at a crime scene is this: what did the perpetrator or assailant look like? The response often goes something like this: well, they were white or black or Hispanic. They were male or female. Their build was medium or large, average looking. And it goes on, sometimes even giving eye color and hair color. But in essence, it is the general description of a suspect based on his physical characteristics. Those characteristics that we can easily see with our eyes. But there are hidden characteristics in each one of us. Characteristics that can't necessarily be seen by the eye, but are felt and understood and discerned through relationships and experiencing life with one another. This is also true in the family of God. And over the course of the next several weeks, we're going to look at what each of those heart characteristics are and that we should and that we should display in our lives. But before we do that, we must understand that it is through living out these characteristics in our lives, we live an example that reflects the one who can change minds and, more importantly, the hearts of those who are lost, oppressed, and confused. But if our hearts are out of sorts, then how can we hope to help others with theirs? Look with me, if you will, as we begin this study of the blessings or the Beatitudes. In Matthew 5:2-3, we find these words. And he opened his mouth, that he being Jesus, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Matthew records here in this second verse that Jesus began to teach them. So who was it that Jesus was actually teaching? The simple answer is the crowd that had gathered there on the hillside. But I think we need to look deeper and understand that while, yes, that crowd was there and they were being taught, that Jesus' focus in that moment was more specific. It was a little more focused. Jesus' initial message was intended for a specific group of people, and those that had gathered around had the blessing and the opportunity to listen in and likewise gain understanding in the process. This setting reminds me a little bit of a time in my life when I had a group of young people come down and do work with Mission Indy for a week several years ago. One evening, our guest speaker that they had brought in was a former gang member who, after having served some time in prison, came to a faith in Jesus Christ and accepted him as Lord. And from there, he came out of prison and began a youth ministry, ministering to those youth that are currently in gangs. I don't know how much you know about gangs, but gangs have identifying marks. First, there are those marks that specifically indicate that you're a part of a gang, and then there are even more intricate signs that will even tell an individual who knows those signs what specific gang you're a part of. This gentleman, we'll call him Big T, had come to speak to a room of young people, but he wasn't a minute into his speaking and sharing when he looks across and scans the audience, and he finds this young man who's wearing his hat in a specific way with a specific tilt. And he recognized that immediately as a gang sign. And he said to that young man, he looked him straight in the eye and he said this, "I believe the Lord called me here this evening for you and I to have a conversation." He went on to invite the rest of us that were there to listen in to what he had to share, but to understand that he was speaking directly to this young man. I'll be honest, I don't remember everything he shared that night, but I'm willing to bet that those of us that were sitting on the outside, just listening in, gathered some wonderful pieces of insight into the love of Jesus because of what was being shared in this conversation between two individuals. And so as the church, I encourage us, as we embark on this study, to listen intently and hear the message of Jesus. This morning, I want to, at the outset of our study, capture exactly who this audience was that Jesus was speaking to that day on the hillside. I believe Jesus' main audience was, at least at the beginning of this sermon, was his disciples. And yes, I mean the 12, but more than that, as we know that Jesus had many disciples that were following him around, that went from place to place with him. And I believe it is to those who believed in him and who were accepting what he shared that he was speaking. I believe this because he begins and ends this list of blessings, this list of beatitudes that we're embarking on with the exact same phrase. Jesus is speaking directly to these listeners and conversely to us as the church today as well. Look again at the closing words of verse 3 with me. It's the first in the list of Jesus' blessings. Matthew 5:3 says this, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now look down just a few verses to verse 10, which is the last in the list of blessings. And notice we find that exact same phrase closing out this verse. Matthew 5:10, it says this, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus, if you will, bookends his thoughts here in the start of this message with this phrase, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." He's drawing a picture, a word picture of those who are part of his kingdom, of God's kingdom. He's drawing a picture of what we should be striving for as his followers. In a very real sense, he is drawing for us a self-portrait of himself, because all of these qualities, these characteristics that he adds in this list, he has in full in his personality. Also understand that Jesus is not addressing, as he goes down through this list, eight specific people, but he is talking about characteristics, eight very important characteristics that belong in our lives if we are part of the family of God, if we are part of his kingdom. In Scripture, this phrase, kingdom of heaven, and the phrase kingdom of God are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. In other words, they describe that same place. And a kingdom is that territory or area where a king or queen reigns. But more importantly, it is also that area where the king resides, where he lives, where he is present. So when we ask, where is or what is the kingdom of God, we must recognize that while we are not in full recognition of it in this time and in this place, because God has not fully revealed it or himself to us, there is an element of the kingdom that exists here and now in present day, and that element is us, the church. Matthew 18:20 says this, "For where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Jesus tells us that whatever and wherever, whenever and wherever two or three people come together bearing or wearing the name of Jesus, he is present with us. As professed followers of Christ, we are also told by him that he has not left us alone, that he has sent to us another like him. And we recognize that in the indwelling gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so in essence, even when we are not gathered in a group as we are today, but we are there by ourselves, we are still present in the kingdom of God because Jesus is present with us in the indwelling of his Spirit. And I believe this is what is at the heart of Jesus' words as he teaches the disciples to pray later in the Sermon on the Mount. The second phrase of the Lord's Prayer is found there in Matthew 6:10, and it reads like this: "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The prayer is asking first and foremost that God would bring his kingdom in all of its fullness and glory to earth quickly. Revelation says, "Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly." That should be the prayer of every believer. But we also need to understand that we are the church, and we are to be that example of God's kingdom here on earth. And so in that prayer, we also are praying. But in the meantime, while we wait for your kingdom to come and be present fully and completely, in the meantime, give your church, give us strength, grace, mercy, and the will to be an example of your kingdom right here, right now, in this community. Those who long for God's will on earth in the future should live consistently with that longing to be in his presence, working for God's righteousness and seeking his will here. Indeed, only those who bring forth the fruit of repentance, showing themselves ready for the kingdom, dare genuinely pray for his kingdom to come. Because if we're not there, then we're not ready for his kingdom to come. We need to step into a life of repentance and seek forgiveness and to be drawn into the kingdom of God and to begin to develop the characteristics that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. The words recorded here in these first 12 verses of Matthew that we refer to as the Beatitudes are in a very real sense a picture of who we as the church are to be as we reach out to the lost in the world. You see, if we hope to be effective in changing the hearts of men, we need to first make sure that our heart is where it needs to be, that we have the necessary characteristics to show forth that truth. We can't expect the world to live the way we are living if we are not setting that proper example. We can preach one thing and live something totally different. We must live the kingdom of God. And so, as we step through this time, I want to encourage us. I want to challenge us. I want to challenge myself to look deep in my heart and to see through the spiritual mirror of these Beatitudes how I'm doing. In essence, I'm asking myself and I'm asking you to perform a spiritual echocardiogram that looks at the heart and the strength of it, and to use the standards of these Beatitudes as the measure of how your heart is doing. And so as we began to look at what it means to be poor in spirit, to be peacemakers and all the rest, I want to leave you this morning with the words of a song I came across this week. And I'd like to encourage you, as I intend to do, to make it my prayer this week. And not just this week, but weeks to follow. The song is entitled, Make Me New. It's sung by Rachel Vieira. The words go like this. I seem to keep on failing, but your mercy never does. You spark a flame within me, a reflection of your love. I need your Holy Spirit to come and renew. Oh Jesus, I want to be like you. Make me new, make me new. Less of me and more of you. Make me new, make me new. Less of me and more of you. God, I long to see you, your beauty and your power. And I know that your word is true, and it's molding me right now. I need your Holy Spirit to come and renew. Oh, Jesus, I want to be like you. Your word is the key, a mirror to my heart. And I am far from close to the perfection that you are. So I need your Holy Spirit to come and renew. Oh, Jesus, I want to be like you. Make me new. Make me new. Less of me and more of you. Make me new. Make me new. Less of me and more of you. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, that newness of life begins with surrendering your life to Him. To turning over the lordship of your life, the control of your life, and to begin to develop and grow in the characteristics of Jesus. If you're struggling with that decision and you have questions, we encourage you, please give us a call here at the church. We will give you a call back and we would love to be able to spend some time with you sharing the truth of Scripture, the love of a Savior, and helping answer your questions, so that you too may come to know Him as your Lord and Savior. If you know of anyone in the community who is in need of any type, give us a call here. We'd love to be able to reach out to them and if at all possible, help them and meet the need that they have, because that is what Jesus has called us to do. Will you please join me for a word of prayer? Father, thank you for your church. Father, I pray this week that we would each one pray that prayer. Make me new. Make me new. Less of me and more of you. Father, that needs to be our heart cry. That needs to be our desire, because we live in a world and in a time when they are in so need of the love of you, so need of a Savior. And Father, you have called us to be the instrument, the means by which your message is shared with them, a message of love and a message of grace, a message of sacrifice, of your willingness to go to a cross, to bleed and to die, to pay the debt that we owe so that we might have life, that we might be citizens of the kingdom of heaven, citizens of the kingdom of God. Father, we do long for that day when you will come and you will establish in fullness your kingdom. But in the meantime, Father, help us, your church, to be a glimpse and an example to the world of that kingdom which is present even now in this community. I ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.